Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2, 3. This is Love University. I'm Dr. Alex Avila, psychologist, author, and speaker. And today, we're continuing our series of lessons on loving yourself, others, and higher nature. Here at Love University, our purpose and our task is to teach you how to live life to the fullest, how to learn how to manage your emotional strengths, how to deal with other people and relationships, and also how to improve yourself so you can be your best possible self. Now today, I have a very interesting guest. I'm very excited about today's show because I have a young man sitting next to me here who's actually been helping me in the podcast. He's an engineer. His name is Reggie Peralta. Reggie is a young man, mid-20s, a handsome devil, I think. Ladies, I guess if you're single, you might want to call him. He's an engineer, college student, very bright young man, Latino as well. But one thing I didn't know about Reggie, and as we're working together, off the air, I asked him, is there something about you that's unique? And he said, I am autistic. And I said, autistic? Yes, I am. And autism, also known as spectrum disorder, is a broad range of developmental disorders dealing with social interactions, people that have difficulty with interacting with other people socially, and also repetitive behaviors, things like rocking, stimming. They kind of are in their own world. There's a lot of things about this in the news and even movies and television, but I want to really get a real personal view of this and also talk about some of the positive parts of being autistic and see how we can help other people. So I'm really very pleased to introduce to you now, Mr. Reggie Peralta.
Thank you very much, Dr. Avila. It's great to be on.
Yeah, it's really wonderful to have you, Reggie. Now, with autism, approximately 1% of the population in the world has autism, and it's typically 5-to-1 ratio of males to females. So tell me, Reggie, in your mindset, how do you define autism? What is it?
Well, autism, for me, it's mostly about a social awkwardness, I would say. I have always had trouble interacting with others, understanding the nuances of communication. I mean, I'm much better at it now than I was before, but that was the primary struggle I had.
Okay. They mentioned something about a neurological disorder. What does that mean?
Well, I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm not going to pretend to be an authority on the issue, but my understanding is that autistic people like myself, our brains are wired differently, so we our nerves are work differently from other people's, from non-autistic people's, and so the way we perceive sensations like touch and sound or whatever, it's completely different from somewhat at least a bit different from non-autistic people.
Well put, Reggie. You could be a psychologist someday.
Oh, thank you.
I like the way you said that. So yeah, it is a genetic disorder. We don't necessarily know the causes of it, but there is a difference in the way you guys perceive sensory cues and also facial cues. Like, it's hard for you to read other people's emotions. Sometimes it's hard to be empathetic to other people because you're kind of like not really understanding the social situations. And the idea of being repetitive, you know, doing certain activities, and I think you told me something that you do sometimes. What is it that you do when you feel anxious?
Well, it's not necessarily when I feel anxious, but when I get excited. And I used to, I mean, when I was a kid, I would do this a lot. And now, well, when nobody's around or whatever, I like look over my shoulder, see if anybody's around, and I'll flap, or what they call stimming now. And that's basically self-stimulation.
Okay, like, so show me the flapping. What do you do exactly?
It's like this. I'm flapping my hands in front of me back and forth, you know, kind of like Donald Trump when he's being mean to somebody.
Okay. Say something bad about That's me. A whole different thing.
Yeah.
You're not like a bird or anything like that.
You're not flying. I'm not a bird, man. I'm not ready to fly yet.
Okay. So the purpose of this is what? Just to make you feel more comfortable? Is it something that reduces your tensions?
It's probably something like that, but it goes deeper than like, it's not a conscience thing, I would say. Conscious thing. It's like, I feel this like on a deep level that I need to do this, you know, like on a primitive level, you know, way like kind of, it's like it just comes naturally to me, you know, and I had to learn to control it, you know, because I know it's not.
Right. So it's kind of like an automatic thing that you do. Now, sometimes they say autistic people can be obsessive about certain activities, like, you know, repeat them over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And okay. The other issue is, Reggie, when did you learn that you were autistic? I mean, how did you know about it as a child? What was it like growing up? Because oftentimes people are diagnosed as children with autism.
Well, I mean, I always heard, as far as I can remember, I've been autistic. I don't know when exactly. I was like, oh, I am autistic. But it was always like that word was always thrown around, you know, my parent, my mom talking to doctors or teachers or whatever. And I'm like, oh, autistic. Oh, like artistic. I'm artistic.
Artistic.
Like something like that, you know.
That's a good way to look at it. So, you just felt different. Did you feel, you know, some out of place in some ways with other kids?
When I was like really young, like kindergarten or preschool, I remember feeling like I fit quite in very well. You know, I remember getting along with the kids, playing the same activities or whatever. But as I got older, I started to become more aware of the gulf between me and non-autistic, neurotypical people, you know? It makes sense. As you get older, you become more aware of things about yourself. And
so what would be one thing you were aware of that made you different, for example, with other people that were not autistic?
Well, I mean, in hindsight, used to do this activity like called pacing at school, like at recess, instead of playing with friends, or as I got older, like instead of playing with friends or just hanging out, I would like go between like the basketball courts or whatever, and like the little gap, the delineated lines or whatever. I would like find a spot and I would walk back and forth between that same spot over and over again, you know, like I don't know why exactly. I think it was part of the stimming, I think, kind of like trying to that I'm a stimulation. I craved that. But I mean, I didn't care that I was the only one doing it, of course. I didn't care that nobody else did it, but it came naturally to me and it made sense somehow.
Who knows? If you did it really fast, you could have been a racer or something, right?
Something special. My parents flirted with the idea of me joining track when cross country.
I would think so. Now, I mean, it's always hard for kids, you know, because when they're unique or different, other kids can make fun of them, they can bully them. And you said you didn't really notice if people liked it or not, or did you know that they maybe, you know, did they talk about it against you? What was your reactions?
Well, it's interesting. Like, early on, people seemed to really like me. They didn't really care that I did the pacing or whatever. Like, sometimes they'd ask, what are you doing or whatever? I'm like, pacing or whatever. They're like, oh, okay. But I didn't really have issues with my peers until like late middle school, high school. Like that's when I became a parent. Like I tried to have more serious friendships, you know. Yeah. That's when the issues really came into play.
So can you tell us a story? I don't know, either of something that happened to you that was humorous or maybe difficult from those times.
Well, funny story about being autistic. Well, I mean, it's not necessarily from that time, but I think this is the most prominent example of me being autistic and there being humor in it, is I used to be active on Tumblr, website, what's it called? I mean, I don't go on there anymore, but I don't have time for it, honestly. But
What is Tumblr for those of us that are out of the technological
Tumblr,
era?
It's like a blog for, it's like you post, it's kind of like pics, oh my gosh, embarrassed. It's like a blog.
Is it like Instagram? Is it a dating site?
It's kind of like Instagram, but Instagram. Like there's more, there's like emphasis on posts and stuff, so you can put like pictures on it if you like stuff. But well, anyway, so this one person I followed said that no grown man who, you can't be a grown man like My Little Pony and not be autistic. Now, I like my Little Pony. I haven't watched it in a while. I mean, I'm not a brony by any means. I do not associate with those, but I do like the show. I think it's good. And so
so what is My Little Pony? Bring me up to date.
My Little Pony is a very cute show on I don't know what it's called, the Hasbro channel or something. Okay. Well, anyway, it's very cute. My nieces watched it.
Is it a kid's show?
It's for children. Okay. It's aimed primarily at females or whatever, but for whatever reason, it has a very large male fan base.
What is it about a little pony that goes around town or what?
It's a group, a little group of pony friends or whatever who live in Equestria, which is like a pony world or whatever.
Okay.
And like they get into adventures and learn how to resolve differences and stuff.
Right.
I mean, it's very cute. I think it's well written for what it's worth.
So it's a cute, interesting show. Now, so you posted that on your Tumblr.
Oh, no, he posted it. I saw that.
Oh, someone posted it. Yeah. And then he said, you're autistic if you like the show?
Yeah. He said, he basically said, you can't like this show, be a man, like the show, and not be autistic. And I said, in my case, you'd be right.
Okay.
And it's funny because he liked my comment, but he didn't respond to it. Right. So I think he didn't actually expect somebody who's actually autistic to respond to it. I thought it was funny, you know?
Okay. Well, I don't know. I mean, the thing about autistic people, from what I researched, is that they often are very creative. You know, they think outside of the box. Mm-hmm. In fact, they did a study where they had non-autistic people with autistic people, and they asked you, tell me all the ways you can use this paperclip. And of course, you know, regular people would say, I'll use it to, you know, fix my iPhone or something. But autistic people came up with things like, I'll use it as a weight on a paper airplane. Or I'll heat it up to suture wounds. So autistic people came up with more novel ideas, more creative.
Oh, yeah, that's a common quality ascribed to autistic people. Some of us are what they call savants. Honestly, I would beg to differ because I feel that quality is often ascribed to autistic people. And it's true, there are autistic people who have gifts, basically, yes, and are very good at certain things. Mm-hmm. But the sad truth is that's only a small percentage of most autistic people. And so, like, if you come up to me, for example, and say, you're autistic, and like throw a deck of cards on the floor and say, how many cards are there? Or
oh, okay.
I'm not going to know, you know.
Okay, like the Rain Man. Remember the movie where guy was able to cards a blackjack?
Yeah, exactly.
Like a mathematical genius. Now, one thing, Reggie, that I want to run this by you, that they say about autistic people is they can also have, excellent memories. They say that autistic people may seek out certain kind of information that they prefer while ignoring other information, like, let's say, social verbal cues, so they can become highly, highly acute to remembering certain details. For example, they can recognize number patterns better. And, you know, just like a blind person develops other sensory abilities, like sound, they say the autistic person can develop these ability to, you know, go deeply into details. And even research shows that autistic people are often 40% faster at solving problems, because they have this enhanced ability. Now, in your mind, can you tell us a little bit about that? Did you have an enhanced memory? What were some of your traits that you had as an autistic person?
Oh, for sure. Definitely as a kid, I had a very good memory. That was one of the big things I remember. Everybody say, man, Reggie remembers everything. And as much as it pains me to say this, but it's not as good as it used to be. It's like not all there anymore. But I did used to do that. I mean, people would comment on it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's very true.
Like, what kind of things would you remember? I mean, like numbers or pictures, faces?
Everything. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, just like the most smallest detail, mm-hmm. Or whatever. And everybody would be like, you remembered that? And I'm like,
when was Abraham Lincoln born?
That I don't know. Oh. See, I told you, it's not all there anymore.
Oh, okay. But you did tell me that as you became more socially connected to people, your memory started going down.
Yeah, I honestly feel that's the case, you know, that there was kind of like a trade-off when as my awareness, like interpersonal awareness and understanding of social mores grew, my eidetic memory, I don't even know what it's called, but my super good memory just started to like fade away, you know, just kind of like to compensate, you know, for that.
You know, I'm very impressed. You know, you have a great vocabulary. I notice as I'm hearing your words, you know, it seems like you're very good at that.
Thank you very much.
I know they say terms like, I guess, highly functioning autistic or whatever they call it, you know. And I don't know if you fall in that category, but, you know, having above average IQ and being able to function, you know, society and take care of everyday matters, and also having some degree of social connection. But there are challenges. I'm sure even as an adult, you know, you say, would you consider yourself still to be autistic today?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's not as apparent as it used to be, but I am autistic. There's just no way around it. You know?
One thing that I liked that what you said last week on the show is that although I have this elements of this, you know, these characteristics, they don't define me. You know, you say I am Reggie. You know, I'm not autistic. You don't introduce yourself as that. I'm an autistic. How do you introduce yourself to people?
Well, I go up to them and I say, hi, I'm Reggie.
All right. Hi, I'm Reggie. Okay, so you don't let this so-called thing define you. Although there are challenges. Let's say in the workforce, they say autistic people may not look people in the eye. Mm-hmm. And as a result, other people may think of them as being aloof or maybe arrogant, but they really maybe want to meet people. They want to connect, but in some ways, but they have a different way to interact. And what do you think that is?
Well, again, it comes to the the neurological differences between autistic people and neurotypical people.
Yes.
Autistic people, many of them, they don't have the ability to understand how to interact with others. You know, it's just like
right.
It's not necessarily because they don't want to. It's just they simply can't understand it. You
right. The social cues, the eye contact is considered a polite thing to
do.
Oh,
yeah, absolutely.
They're not able to pick that up in some ways. Mm-hmm. So they may look away. But it's not that they don't care about you, but they just have a different way of processing information, you're saying.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the other thing is that, you know, the new trend is to look at autism more almost as an interesting phenomenon that's unconventional. They say that autistic people do actually care about others, but they process things differently. They need to feel safe and comfortable in their environment. And then once they do that, they can be more outgoing. But if they're put into a new situation, they can be overly sensitive to light and sound and other things. And then they react differently. Can you shed some light on that?
Well, I think that's that ties into our autistic people's. I can't speak for every autistic person.
Yes.
But I think that speaks to many autistic people's preference for habit, routine. Like I am largely a creature of habit, you know.
Yes.
Chances are if I have to do something, have the choice to do something the way I want it, I always do it, or the way, a new way, chances are I will go with the way I always do it.
Yes.
And that's how it is for many autistic people.
Right.
Because we find comfort in our routines, and we can't even imagine doing things any other way, but that's how it is, you know. If we meet new people, we might not know how to respond or react to that, you know, how to respond to this new person interrupting your routine.
Exactly,
you know?
Exactly. Now, Jimmy, right now you're very verbal. You know, I'm very impressed. You're very fluent. And I know you've been through therapy, and maybe it's taking you years, right, to get to this point.
Oh, yes.
And what I think, Reggie, from the literature, new research in autism, and also in general, is the idea that you can have a condition or a part of you that you could call something. It could be autism, or it could be ADHD. But you can also see it as something that can bring you benefits, you know, something that you can actually use in a positive way. Although there is maybe pain, there's suffering involved, there's difficulty. The idea that you can be a person that is very structured, you know, that can be organized, you know, that can do things in a certain way, that has power. In the book I wrote, Love Types, and other books I've written about personality types, there is a personality that's called structured personality, that we call the judger. The person that's like a judge is very straightforward. And that person can accomplish a lot of things because they're very narrowly focused on what they want to do. And of course, spontaneity can be a useful trait too. And that would be the opposite, right? To, you know, be more flexible and things like that. And I'm sure there's ways to improve that, maybe through therapy and other methods. But, and there's definitely a talent, you know, and also to be immersed, you know, into something so deeply that you become an expert at it, whether it's mathematics or science. And we see that there is a certain kind of individual called the savant, which is a very rare kind of individual that does have a disability, you could say, psychologically, but they have a great talent. You know, maybe it's art, music, science. And it is interesting to know that there are people, and usually there are 50% of them are autistic, savants, that we even recognize. You know, for example, Dan Aykroyd, you know, the famous comedian, they said he has autistic spectrum. He was expelled out of two different schools before he realized that. Tim Burton, another great movie director, they say he also has some elements of autism. He doesn't hear people when he's working. He like withdraws into his own world. The famous Charles Darwin, the founder of evolutionary theory, they said he became fixated on topics. He was a visual thinker. Einstein, one of our greatest geniuses ever, had trouble socializing, had a severe speech delay, and they said he had echolalia, which is repeating people's words back, which is another element of autism. And finally, this is one I found interesting, Bill Gates, the richest man on the planet. They say he does rocking motion, he has monotone speech, and he avoids eye contact. Now, whether it's true or not, the fact that these, you know, so-called successful, great, you know, maybe even genius people had elements of this situation gives you a feeling, right, that says what comes to your mind when you hear about these people that have, let's say, succeeded?
Well, I would like to say it makes me feel like, oh, wow, if these people are like me, then I can accomplish, let's call something great, great stuff on my own.
Yes.
But I'm of the mind that basically that what I do, it's because I can do it, you know, not because I'm autistic or whatever, you know. I'm kind of like, I'm my own man, you know. And it's interesting you bring the famous people, because there's like a whole cottage industry of famous people being identified as autistic, whether it's true or not. Like, two of my favorite, I'm not using the word frivolously. Two of my favorite artists, David Byrne from Talking Heads and Andy Kaufman,
yes,
they have both been suspected of being autistic. And David Byrne himself has said, yeah, I think I used to be autistic, but what's it called? The music, I'm a cured me or whatever. Mm-hmm. And of course, that to me betrays an understanding that he's like, oh, he doesn't know what autism is, because he would know you don't get cured from autism. Mm. Yeah.
So you think this is trivializing it? I mean, bringing these geniuses into it, or
no, I don't think so. I don't think so. It's just I feel it's a misconception, you know, kind of, because I mean, it is, and I feel like the intent is good, you know, kind of. Oh well, no, there's some hope for autistic people, you know, that they can accomplish great things. But I think I feel like a better thing would be to kind of get people, autistic people, to focus on their passions, see what they are like, and to pursue them, you know, and develop them, and so develop themselves as a result, you know.
Good point. So basically, in Spanish, we call it the don, which means the God-given talent. You know, some talent that you have. Some people is music. Let's say you love airplanes. Maybe you can learn how to be an airplane mechanic, you know, and help people through your talent, your passion. And the other thing they're looking at is treatment for autism. And you've heard of, I think risperidone is a drug that's used for young people. Did you ever take that?
No, I haven't. My parents actually were very, they did not agree on a lot about my condition or whatever, but one thing they did agree on was avoiding medication. They did not want to just get me popped up on pills or whatever and like knock me out.
Yeah, I can agree with that. I mean, I'm very conservative with medication. I mean, there are times when we need it in medical situations and psychiatric. But also behavioral therapy, you know, learning is very common, you know, rewards, reinforcers, and also, you know, timeouts and things like that, where you reinforce the good and don't reinforce the bad.
Absolutely, yeah. I've had a lot of behavioral therapy over the years.
I can imagine. And something that's kind of new, and I've actually worked with this myself, is using psychodrama, also known as improvisational acting. Because there is, like you mentioned, the creativity component to the autistic individual, but tapping into that, and you know, actually going with that in a more intense way. I'll give you an example. There's a technique in improvisational acting, and by the way, that means that you act out certain scenes in certain situations emotionally in kind of a therapeutic way. It's more than just entertainment. So that, for example, I say to you, Reggie, let's do some gibberish. Like, you know what gibberish is, right? Mm-hmm. So you make made up words, and we're gonna translate that into English. It's okay. Like we're doing an interview. So I'm gonna begin right now.
Am I responding in gibberish?
No, you respond in real English.
Oh, okay. All right.
Otherwise, no one was going to understand.
Okay.
So I just made a statement. I want you to be my translator. So what did I just say?
Hey, what's up, man?
Okay.
If you could see his body language, you would know that's what he's saying.
I'm a surfer gibberish guy. Yeah. Out of space. Okay, now you try it. You tell me a little gibberish.
I
would like a quesadilla, but I prefer some wonton soup instead.
That sounds like
I heard a Latino and then I heard a little Asian accent, so I thought, okay, wait a minute. You like that? So, you know, having fun like this, I think, you know, may be helpful for certain individuals, you know, using their creativity and kind of like taking away the stigma. Because many times with mental illness or any kind of disorder, we put a stigma on it and say, you know, you're this, and this. And self-esteem goes down. So I like the fact that you are a very holistic kind of person. You know, you're not defined by any kind of disorder. And more than that, you want to be unique, right, in the way you are.
Absolutely.
And so looking at the future, Reggie, now we talked about this off the air a little bit. I mean, what's your goal in life? Do you want to get married and have a relationship, a romantic relationship?
Absolutely.
Okay. Have you had one before, or is it something you're looking for?
Yeah, I'm looking. Okay. Never had one.
But I'm sure there's a challenge to that. What's the biggest challenge in meeting a woman? I mean, would you date an autistic woman, for example?
I would have to meet the woman. That's about. There's there's very little consistency in the kind of woman I'm drawn to. So, I mean, I don't want to shut the door on that kind of relationship, you know?
So you're open to whatever. As long as she's what do you like in a woman? What are some of the characteristics you're looking for?
I think I'm looking for someone who I can talk to, you know, because I think that's very important. Somebody I can talk to and just kind of like be myself with, you know, like be frank if I'm upset or scared or I'm happy, you know, just kind of like, and we can kind of like.
So good communication, someone who accepts you as you are with your strengths and weaknesses. So love is something you're looking for in the future in a relationship. Any other goals in life, professional goals, things that you want to accomplish?
Well, I would definitely like to take this podcasting somewhere, do something with it. You know, I've changed my study plans to for it. So I do hope that I do something involving podcasting or radio. I would love to work as a host. Keep work. I've worked as a host at two radio stations,
wow.
UCLAradio.com and 90.1 FM KBBK. So yeah. I like to continue.
That was a nice plug. I like the way you did that.
Thank you. I had to.
So yeah, that's great, Regis. So you really have some real ambitions. You know, you really want to make a difference. It sounds like in the world.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Broadcasting and, you know, I guess entertaining people or educating people. And I mean, I think you're a great inspirational story, honestly.
Thank you.
I know you're very humble. You know, you don't think a lot of this, you know, per se, but the fact that you're here today talking to me in a very deep way, you know, and a very compassionate way, you know, because it sounds like you really care about people, you know, and whether they're autistic or not autistic, whatever they may be, you know, you don't draw the line. And there's something about you that's special.
Thank you.
I really want to say I thank you for coming today.
Thank you, Dr. Avila. I appreciate it. Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me.
Okay, I'm going to shake your hand right now. Okay. A very firm handshake. And again, you know, this is all about, you know, Love University is about love. You know, it's about expressing this positive energy that all of us have. And we all come in different shapes, different sizes, different neurological devices, different personalities. But we all share the same human core, right? We all love. We all want to succeed in life. We all want to, you know, take care of our loved ones. And we want to be happy. And we want to achieve something on earth. So again, with Love University, I really want to thank you for coming today, all of you listening today. And if you want to contact us and you have any questions, we have a blog that we have on our website, loveuniversity.love. You can reach us at 310-226-8090. I also do therapy for people that have been in trauma. Some of it can be free therapy if you've been a victim of a crime. Also, you can email us at lovetype4u@aol.com. That's LOVETYPE, the number 4, letter U, at AOL.com. Until the next time, this is Love University. You can put your pencils away, your notebooks down. We'll see you next time.